He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
Welcome into another edition of the 73rd hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams with you on a Monday, ready to recap some live golf, baby. First time in a couple of months that we've had live golf. It was a lot of fun yesterday. We want everybody to hit us up on Twitter at Colby J. Powell, at T_Williams101, and search for us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, the 73rd hole. Search 73rd hole and you will find us. Speaking of live golf, we're headed down to Bushwood tomorrow to play some golf down in Chickasha, and you should head that way this summer for the Ouachita Valley, the oldest tournament in the state of Oklahoma. It's been totally revamped, revitalized. Course is being redone. Greens are in phenomenal shape. Tee boxes freshly resodded. Course is really coming in nicely, and it's going to be a lot of fun this summer. Taylor will be in the field. I will be in the field. We will not be in the same flight, but we'll be having a good time. So you should come join us at Bushwood in Chickasha. How many times has the Valley been played now, Taylor?
Can you believe this? 92 years. This 92nd annual. And it's been pretty
good. So that takes us back to 92 years ago. It was 1928?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I'm sure there's been a year or two missed for whatever reason.
Yeah, maybe won the World War II or something like that. I'm gonna have to go back, but yeah, no, by far the oldest tournament in the state, still going, and it's such a great fun event every year. And hopefully, the more great players we can get down there, the more that we can, you know, because unfortunately, with some of the prior management before Max took over, the tournament kind of lost a little bit of its value. You know, used to garner some of the best players in the state, you know, from the Duncan area, from Oklahoma City area, even Tulsa area, even players from out of state would come and play from it. So hopefully, you know, and I think we're getting to that point to where it's going to end up being not only the oldest tournament, but one of the biggest tournaments in the state going forward.
Yeah, being totally revitalized this year with $15,000 in the prize pool. So head that way, Bushwood Golf and Country Club in Chickasha. Tell them the 73rd hole sent you. Taylor, live golf yesterday. No caddies, no carts. We had range finders. We had shorts. We had stand bags. And it was an absolute blast. I loved every second of it.
It was, I'm not sure if it was as fun to watch just because we hadn't seen it in so long or just because it was actually pretty solid entertainment. It was probably a mixture of the both, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it was. It was, like you said, we hadn't seen anything forever. So pretty much no matter how they put it on, I was going to enjoy it. I could have done without some of the talking over the players. My whole thing is, you've got the players mic'd up. We all want to hear these guys talk. We want to hear how they interact with each other during the round. And we heard some of that, but I thought we could have heard more of that.
Yeah, I agree, too. And I think that was one of the complaints we had about the original Tiger Phil match where there wasn't as much banter. And even this time, you know, some of the commentators tried to cover the players, which I didn't like that at all. And, you know, it's kind of going down the lines of what you were saying there that I think that, you know, it was just good just to get golf back, you know, and especially for me, because I'm such a golf course architect kind of nut, you know, almost kind of a, not a guru by any stretch of the imagination, but it's something I'm extremely fond of. And to have seen Seminole, you know, obviously we've seen here lately, just in the last, you know, while they were previewing this, we got to see some flyovers, which was hard to find before this event was scheduled, you know, so that was really cool just to even look at it like that. Then to get to see the players play, and I'm actually really glad for the tournament that there was a little bit of wind, you know?
Yeah, me too.
And one of the, so that kind of made them think about it, but one of the things I thought was shocking to me was that you could tell off of the drives, because they had mentioned they had a few inches of rain leading up to the event.
Yeah, they said like 3.5-4 inches in the days leading up.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, normally when you're doing that, you're playing lift clean in place, you know, there's mud everywhere, you know, the ball's just sticking on the green, and you could tell a little bit on the fairways that the ball was kind of stopping, not rolling, but that wasn't happening on the greens. Those greens are firm.
Yeah, if they wanted the greens to be hard, they could get them really hard. I mean, that's that Champions Bermuda, which is what I play on here in Oklahoma City, and it can get hard and firm if you want it to, and the ball bounces on it like a pool table sometimes. And we saw that right out of the gate. Matthew Wood, first hole. He's got 74 yards in to the pin on the first hole. Hits a little wedge, probably doesn't clip it just right. But, I mean, he landed 20 feet short of the pin, and it rolled and rolled and rolled, and it rolls off the backside of the green. And it's like he couldn't get it to stop on that green. And even Rory, after he hit the shot in the little playoff there, the closest to the pin shot, in the post-round interview with Sanzi, he said, you know, out here at Seminole, you never know exactly where the ball is going to end up once it hits the green. So it was nice that it actually stopped there. I mean, he was worried about it rolling off the green.
Yeah, they all were, you know, because it was hovering over the side of the bunker, so they almost couldn't really see it. They were having to jump over, see, oh, is it on? Is it on? Is it on? And, I mean, you look at it close enough, I mean, it was 1.5, 2 feet away. If it's a little to the left, it rolls down the hill. All of a sudden, Matt and Ricky win.
Yeah.
You know, just by a couple feet.
Yeah,
it is the definition of a game of inches.
Yeah, and Matt and Ricky actually, well, we shouldn't say Matt and Ricky. Ricky played better than anybody else for, I'd say, the majority of the round. He had 7 birdies all in the first 16 holes. I mean, he was playing pretty well.
And it's pretty funny how we kind of were making a joke before it all started how there might be some social distancing between Rory and DJ's drives and Ricky and Wolf's drives. And obviously we saw with Matt and with Wolf on the 2 long drive holes, I mean, he can just pump it
just
out there.
Hitting bombs.
He crushed those. The second one especially was just a missile.
Fairway on both holes too, though.
That's the thing. And that was one of the things that I liked that they did. It was a long drive contest, but they didn't do it to where you had to hit the fairway. But even though he did hit the fairway to win, but that gave them incentive, you know.
They just wanted to hit bombs.
Exactly. And so that way, 2 reasons. 1, it guaranteed that someone won for the charity. It guaranteed that money was given out. And
did you want to go an 0-for-4?
Yeah, 0-for-4, so now no one gets it.
Sorry, CDC, no money for you.
Exactly. Or you have the situation where the first 3 miss it, so then the second guy pulls out 5-iron and just tries to hit the fairway to make money for charity.
Right.
You know, so I liked how they did it on that aspect. We iterated this yesterday when we were watching it together. I had wished that they would have. It worked out in the end just because it was so intense because it came down to Rory, number 1 player in the world, having to hit the shot, having to get it. At the time, we didn't know it was 18 feet, how close Wolf was, but that's how close.
Wolf was 18 feet, 2 inches. Rory was 13 feet. They did measure.
So a lot of people were like, well, was he really closer? We didn't see. You know, they kind of just shoved it off. But, yeah, so Rory would end up being 5 feet closer. At the time, I had wished they would have just played one more hole. You know, just play that hole one more time. You know, just see if someone can birdie it to win it. You know, obviously, if one guy makes a par and the other 3 bogey, it wouldn't have been as intense, and I don't think we would have liked that. I just would have liked to have seen that play that hole just one time and then maybe go closest to the pin. But, you know, it all ended up working out at the end. Once Rory stepped up there, because when DJ hit it in the bunker, you know, oh, this is like do or die. Over $1 million is on the line here for the nurses and the CDC, which Bill Murray and Mike Tirico were having a banter on
Bill Murray. Bill Murray is so funny. Bill Murray, if you weren't listening to the actual commentary, Bill Murray asked Mike Tirico, he said, so Mike, I got to know, who are you rooting for today, the CDC or the nurses?
Dude, we both just laughed so hard because it was like, and Tirico, I think he played it fairly well, but I would just be in such, like, what am I supposed to say to that?
I'm rooting for both.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, are you supposed to pick a favorite here? But I guess they threw in a little bit of extra money for charity, so it ended up being a good thing
for
what they were saying. So
and Bill Murray, by the way, his favorite course, Bushwood, of course, from the 1980 film Caddyshack. By the way, I'm watching Community. I don't know if you've ever watched Community, but it's got Chevy Chase in it, but it's got like old, like grandpa Chevy Chase in it, and it's weird, man.
So it's like, it's a pretty new show then?
Yeah, like 2010-ish. Okay. Yeah, something like that. But it's just weird because, to me, Chevy Chase is always going to be Caddyshack Chevy Chase. Yeah. That's him. Ty, yeah. Yeah, tie me up with some of your ties, Ty.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's Chevy Chase to me. So it's just weird seeing him play like the old grandpa role in a show, but it's still really good. One thing I would have liked to have seen for the playoff, let's go back to 18T and let's play true alternate shot.
That would have been interesting.
I'm in.
That would have been good. It's just... Well, I mean, it kind of, because they did change the format when they went close to the pin, so it would have been something, you know, to go from best ball all day to all of a sudden just flip to alternate shot. But I do, like I said, it ended up being cool because it came down to the wire. I mean, obviously, if it had been flipped around, you know, and Rory had, if whoever had hit first had hit it to 3 feet or whatever, then it wouldn't have been as intense. You know, it was almost, Wolf hit it in that perfect range to where it was like, you have to hit a good shot to beat it. An average shot probably won't get inside of it, and a bad shot obviously won't win it, you know. So it was like, Wolf hit it to like the perfect distance
to set up
for the dramatic, you know.
Especially, I mean, it was 120, but it's a little uphill. The wind's into and off the left, and the pin's tucked on the left.
And you heard it from about every player because you could kind of hear him talking about it. It seemed like everyone was in between clubs almost.
Yes.
You know, it was like everyone had their, because that's kind of right in that where their wedge gapping is, you know, and with the wind. depends how much you want to flight it, you know, and all this. I think you saw Ricky. He tried to take a longer club.
Yeah, I think Wolf was saying Ricky maybe took 9-iron and tried to lay off of it.
Yeah.
And just bailed on it. Yeah. Completely bailed on it.
And they mentioned this yesterday in the telecast, and people should realize as well. And I was trying to get to this point earlier about Ricky, how he played the best, but it was obvious that he was the shortest out of the three, and it really wasn't
by a long.
It wasn't
shot,
like
long ways.
By 5 yards either. No, he was
25 yards behind.
Yeah,
the other
exactly, and he still ended up making it work, which was fantastic. And there was a lot of good pressure stuff coming down. You know, like the 16th hole was really intense. You know, because we were talking about it. If Ricky and Wolf had won that hole, the last few holes wouldn't have mattered because they would have already had enough.
Yeah, they would have been up by 800K because they played number 16 for 400, mm-hmm. and Ricky and Wolf were already up 400, mm-hmm. and the last two holes were worth 200 and 500. So if Ricky and Wolf would have won 16. That's all she wrote. They're up by 800 with only 700 left on the table. Yeah. So it would have been over them.
I mean, they could have made more money for the birdies or whatever, but the yes. actual match, who was going to win, would have been decided, which wouldn't have been fun. And the last hole was pretty intense, too. I mean, you know, we had Ricky was down in that bunker. Wolf had that long putt. And it looked like Wolf missed it like 3 feet left, and all of a sudden it's coming back, and it's like, at the last second, you thought, maybe it's going to get enough to get in.
It was snapping.
It would have been just like his 3-in putt to win, you know. And so that's what kind of brought back those memories there. But kind of similar to what – kind of the story of their careers, you know. Rory and Ricky having putts inside 15 feet to
– Rory and DJ.
Rory and DJ, I'm sorry. Yes, Rory and DJ. And Ricky falls in this category, too. He just wasn't in the situation of having 15-footers to chance to seal the deal and get it done inside 15 feet, and they didn't make them. So, it ended up setting up for some really good drama.
I mean, Rory either misread his or pulled his by a mile because he missed the hole by like 8 inches from 15 feet.
It seemed like it must have been something with the way the contour was because you could hear in the commentary when Ricky and Wolf were going over, Wolf was wanting to play it way out there, and Ricky was like, I don't think you have to play that much break, and seemed like he played a little less break and still missed it high.
Yeah.
And then Ricky, I keep getting, the R's are getting me mixed up
Ricky
here.
Ricky and Rory's tough.
Yes, exactly. So Rory had his 15-footer or whatever it was, and he missed it about 4 or 5 inches high. I mean, it was pretty high, you know. So yeah.
On a similar line to Wolf's.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah. A shorter, but similar line. And so I think there was just something there with the slope. That messed him up. In all honesty, DJ's putt, until it slipped past the hole, it looked like it was in from our angle.
Looked really good.
From the camera angle, you know? And
he hit a good putt. It just slid by on the right. It's probably the best thing DJ did all day. DJ looked like he would have much rather been on Juno Beach than on Seminole Golf Club.
Well, I had this theory watching. I think DJ, after he was the only one to birdie 4, which is the par 5, and everyone else parted, so they won 4 skins there. DJ probably thought in his head, I won 4 skins, I did my part today, I'm just going to go ahead and coast the rest of the day and just enjoy the sunshine. And apparently that is what happened.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Because what was it? Did Rory and DJ, didn't they go 10 or 11 holes without a birdie? Like, they went from like hole 6 to like hole 16 without a birdie. Or 15, the par 5, whichever the... 14.
I think it was 14. Yeah, because 14 was the long drive hole where they all went like driver 9-iron and par 5.
And they had back-to-back par 5s too, which we talked about. I want to get into that too.
Yeah, back-to-back par 5s, 14, and then 15 with the split fairway. But yeah, it was a beautiful day on Juno Beach. A little bit of wind, but sun was shining. Sun's shining right now, but it won't be sunshine all spring in the state of Oklahoma. So make sure that you know where you need to go for your roof. You need to go to McCray Roofing. Visit McCrayRoofing.com today. Jeff McCray, locally owned business, friend of the show here on the 73rd hole. His team's sole purpose is to create you a masterpiece of a roof, which brings out the beauty of your home and its surroundings. If it's good enough for Gallardia, if it's good enough for Oak Tree, it's good enough for you. Call McCray Roofing today at 405-692-4000 or visit them online at McCrayRoofing.com. So let's talk about Seminole a little bit, Taylor. So I saw some people on social media, on Twitter, talking about Seminole being a little bit underwhelmed. And I'll say this. I thought it was a fabulously designed course. I don't know how well it all translated to TV. I would have really liked, and I don't know, maybe we didn't have the capability, but the overhead shots that we got, I thought for the most part, were of the entire piece of property. I would have rather had, we would have like one little flyover at the start of the hole, but I wish we would have had more overhead looks at the holes, like 14 and 15, I wish we could have had like an overhead look at those two holes and how they come down, and then you're teeing off from like back in the hedges on the beach and coming up. I think that while the broadcast, I think, went off without a hitch, I think that they could have done more to showcase the course. They talked about it a lot, but I think we could have seen more looks of the golf course.
I agree, and I like what you said there about kind of seeing. I've always thought that's fascinating with courses, you know, with especially with the famous ones that you don't get to see. Even Augusta, I'll bring that up here in just a little bit, you know, where it's like, where do the other holes relate to, you know, like, where does every hole relate, you know, like, how close is, you know, the fifth hole to the 14th hole, you know, because sometimes they're really close and sometimes they can be far apart. You know, like, for example, I didn't realize this until I saw an overhead map of Augusta. Like, 6 and 16 are very close to each other at Augusta. Like, very close.
Okay.
Like they're really close.
So you know what I never knew? At Pebble, 3 green, 4 tee, 16 green, and 17 tee are all, like, together in this cluster.
Really?
You can sit in a grandstand and you can watch tee shots on 17, tee shots on 4, putts on 16, and putts on 3, and approach shots into 3, all from one spot. To get from 16 green to 17 tee, you actually have to walk across 4 tee box.
Really? Are you serious?
Yes.
And I did not know that.
I didn't either until I went, and I love stuff like that. And that's stuff that you just can't tell from watching on TV.
No, but it goes to show, you know, like, how many times have they shown Pebble Beach and Augusta too? And we don't
a million.
We don't even see those things. How many times have we watched those majors played, you know? And so it's like, until you kind of dig deep into it, you know, then you don't necessarily see those things. And I completely agree with you. I think one thing that was hurting a lot of people was that they were saying the fairways were a little too wide. I think that had I think that had a little bit to do with, kind of like we mentioned, the ball wasn't rolling anywhere. I can think of maybe 3 or 4 drives from, I think, mainly all Wolf and DJ that would have looked like that if the ground would have been firm, would have landed and went in the water, but they kind of, like, stuck and plugged a few yards away from.
Ricky and Rory on a couple tee shots were like a yard or two behind a bunker. Firm course.
If it
hasn't been raining, that ball's in the trap.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think if the fairways would have been firmer, they would have essentially narrowed they would have made the fairways narrower because the ball's running out more. So I think while they were wider fairways in general, I think that first of all, a course like that, it has to be somewhat a little bit forgiving because, as we saw, the greens are so tough. You know, it's like, it's one of those courses to where you can't just be on the green. You have to be on the right part of the green. You know, if you're from what I was reading and everyone's talking about, it's a drastically hard course if you're above the hole. You know, above the hole or downwind, extremely hard.
Well, so firm and fast, those greens.
Exactly.
So firm and fast.
So now if you're playing with, if you have too narrow of fairways, and then if you have to hit out a rough, you can't hold the damn green, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, there has to be a little bit of forgiveness. And they had, you had mentioned this to me. You saw this before I did. You know, they had made some kind of lengthier championship tees, you know, before the course had only gone out to like 6,900 yards, you know, and they played at what, 72 something?
I think they played it at 72.65 yesterday.
Something like that.
So, I mean, that's when the broadcast came on.
300 or 400 yards extra distance that they were able to create within the last few years.
But we saw, was it 14 or 15, the par 5, where they literally had the tee box and they had like cut into the hedges and they were teeing off, I mean, nearly on Juneau Beach where the tee box was at.
Yeah. No, they pushed, I mean, literally to the boundaries of the property line. And that's what you're seeing from some of these older courses, what they're feeling like is their way to keep up with the modern game, which is fantastic if you have the property room. And I personally love the course. I just thought it was so beautiful how you could see how the dunes, you know, just rolling off of the greens and into the kind of the waste areas, as we would call them. You know, you could just tell how they, before the course was there, how it just naturally flowed into the beach. You know, like, you could just, I love those courses where it just seems like you don't, it's similar like what Steve Ball and all the great instructors say about swing. You know, you build with what you work with, you know, like, you're given a product and you build with it, you know. And I think that Donald Ross did a beyond exceptional job with keeping the land characteristics and the character of where the course was built and just kind of incorporated a golf course there, you know. And it's essentially just a golf course plot by a beach, you know, similar Pebble Beach sculpted out of the, you know, the dunes. You know, it's like they didn't go out there with big machines and make those dunes, you know, the cliffs at Pebble Beach, you know, so he built around that, you know, and it was similar, you know, the 18 or the 17, 18 tees are right there by Juneau Beach, you know, running right along the coastline with those little hedges. I mean, it's just such pretty views, and I love the course, and I'm maybe it's just because I had looked onto it for so long and it had such a high prestige. You know, I mean, because Florida's one of the hot spots for golf, and it's the best course in Florida. So, I mean, it kind of has – it's always had this reputation, you know, especially Donald Ross as well. So maybe it was just me having an excitement to finally get to see everything. But I love the course. And one of the holes I really loved was 16. I thought 16 was one of the – I mean, I know it was downwind and all, but I just think the characteristics of that hole are just fantastic.
Yeah, I thought that was a great hole. I really liked the green complexes and the bunkering. And that's one thing that Donald Ross is kind of known for is his bunkering and his green complexes. But a lot of those went like kind of uphill, kind of into the rolling hills and dunes, like you said, and they were just planted in the side of the hill there. But like deep bunkers, you know, you saw Rory and Ricky on one of the first few holes, maybe the second hole. Yeah, I think it was too, because it was one of the long drive holes, go long into that back bunker, and now they're short-sighted coming downhill out of that bunker. And I thought the green complexes were really unique and really cool. And you know, I wouldn't say that it's, you know, I saw Seminole and I was like, this is one of the greatest courses I've ever seen. And again, maybe I need to see more of it. Maybe if I think if you were on property there, it'd be a lot easier to appreciate it because you would see how all of the course and the landscape all works together. But I thought the green complexes and the bunkering was pretty elite.
In definition of elite. And we mentioned this yesterday when you and me were watching it together. You know, it's like if they did show the overhead view, it would... You know, because kind of we talked about some people weren't as thrilled with the course, but there were also some people who really loved it. And they're like, oh, well, why can't we have a tour tournament out here? And, you know, we had mentioned, you know, if you show the overhead view, you would see that there is just, you could have maybe 1,000 people out there watching, you know, I mean, just because everything's so closed off. I mean, there's just no room for people to spectate, you know? And so that kind of goes into the logistics of where you can have a tournament and where you can't. But one thing that, you know, because I know we want to get into, you know, kind of comparisons on how this will relate to the next weekend's match, Tiger Phil, Brady Manning. One thing I would love to see going forward is like find weeks in people's schedules to where either they're on, like they're in between off weeks or they're going into an off week, and schedule this with four players during once tour even comes back.
Yeah, why not?
Do it on a Monday, you know?
I mean, it was fun.
You know, we saw it at the Japan event where it was, what was it, Tiger Day, Hideki, and
Rory.
It was Rory that played. Yeah, I mean, so that was on a Monday. That was at the same course, and they were playing that week. And, I mean, I'm sure you could find instances where, let's say, for example, there was a big tournament the week before, and then the next week you find four really good players that aren't playing, have them play, you know, Tuesday at a nice course, you know?
Or, I mean, even if they are playing, like with, I mean, Tiger and Day and Rory and those guys were all in the field that week.
Yeah, do them Monday. And you can
scientifically 100% of the time they do it, Tiger wins that week.
So we need to keep it up. Yeah, exactly. So, I would just love to see things like that. And I mean, even if you can't, I know we kind of all these golfers that are doing are kind of the cream de la core, or the, you know, big names at least. You know, Wolf, like we mentioned, he's not a top 100 player in the world yet, but he's
a popular TaylorMade guy.
Exactly, young name, 21 or 2 years old, however
21,
20, however old he is. Yeah, so he can drink now, so that's good.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, exactly. So I would just love to see things like that happen more. You know, obviously it may be tricky. I mean, obviously I don't want to say anyone's a bad person or anything, but if you just do it all the time for charity, you know, if everything's for charity, it might be harder to get, you know, everyone to get on board, you know, but maybe have, you know, like cash side charity things, and then have maybe a little bit of prize money. You know, like we talked about, I always want to bring back Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, you know, just do things like that kind of incentivize, you know, everyone, or maybe the player donates to the charity of their choice, and that gets them to do it. I just want to see more things like this. I don't want a pandemic and no golf to eliminate the reasons why we have cool events like this.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's Taylor Williams. I'm Colby Powell. This is the 73rd hole. Glad everyone's with us on this Monday. Remember, go check out Bushwood down in Chickasha. Taylor and I will be there tomorrow. They've got a Tuesday night scramble out there that's a blast. A lot of the members and other people participate as well. Everybody has a great time. So head that way. It's in Chickasha, Bushwood Golf and Country Club. They'll be open. The pool will be open this Memorial Day weekend. Full bar at the pool. So check it out. Tournament going on out there this weekend as well. We're going to take a break, come back on the other side. Wind down our conversation about yesterday's Skins game. See how maybe it can be even better as far as a production standpoint next week for the Tiger Phil match. We also want to talk about 2K. Last week we were talking about who might be on the cover. Now we know, so we'll talk about that. Also, there was another tournament in Florida this weekend. We'll touch on that a little bit as well. That's all coming up. Stay with us here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof. It is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back into the 73rd Hole. Glad everyone is with us on this Monday. Find us on social media. Search 73rd Hole on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you will find us, like us, follow us on those pages. Take a couple minutes, rate and subscribe this podcast wherever you are listening. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Glad everyone is with us on this Monday. Looking forward to the return of golf. Looking forward to some more good guests coming on with us in the future, and we appreciate all the guests that we've had on to this point here with us on the 73rd Hole. Today, of course, we're recapping live golf. First live golf we've had since the Thursday at the Players Championship. It was a lot of fun yesterday at Seminole. And now the question becomes, what will be better about next week's Tiger Phil match? One thing that I think will be better, I don't know if you saw this or not, boy, JT is going to be on course commentary at Medalist.
You told me about that. I think that'll be interesting. I think it'll be, because him and Tiger have a pretty close relationship, so that'll be...
Well, and they've got a very, I feel like JT's really going to be able to rag on Tiger on the broadcast without Tiger getting upset.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we're going to get some serious JT Tiger ragging on the broadcast.
I think so. I think that's going to be really interesting. And JT's doing a great thing, you know, because, I mean, he's still a young gun and great, but, you know, the younger he can get out there and show that he's a good broadcaster, the longer future that he'll have doing this, you know, or, I mean, doing anything. So, I mean, that's really good on his part. Hopefully he's entertaining and isn't, you know, obviously some of these guys, and we see it in other sports too, you know, we'll think, oh, that guy will be awesome at doing it, you know. Jason Witten, you know, or Monday Night Football, you know, Greg Norman.
Remember Greg Norman on the U.S. Open broadcast?
He lasted
what year was that?
2000. It was Chambers Bay, I believe.
Yes, 15. Yeah.
Yeah. And he lasted 1 year.
It was brutal, man.
It was horrible.
Brutal.
I mean, it was.
Jason Witten was brutal.
I mean, it's some people are natural, some people are just struggle. So hopefully he leans on the sun and naturally. He seems like a pretty laid back guy. Hopefully he's able to, you know, kind of transition everything. Like you said, maybe give some good kind of funny stories or banter on Tiger a little bit, because, I mean, he's the GOAT, so he kind of has the final say. You know, he'll just, you know, he'll just shove 15 majors or 82 wins in your face, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Or he'll shove his bank account in your face, and there's nothing you can do about that either. So
there's nothing you can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about that one. Maybe Brady's competing, but I don't even think he is. And
Brady and Giselle combined.
That's combined. Yes. You combined, you're correct. Yeah. You got to include the spouse.
Because Giselle's like triple the earner that Tom is, which is nuts.
Ain't that crazy?
It's insane.
That's crazy. So, but go back to what I think could be better. So we're going from, correct me if I'm wrong, Colby, we're going from NBC telecast. Now we got the TNT crew.
Yeah, we're going to have Barkley on the call as well.
So we got Barkley. We'll have Ernie. Ernie will be doing it, I'm assuming. Ernie Johnson?
Yep. Ernie yeah, not, Barkley, not, not JT. Ernie else. I'm not sure who else is on it, but I know Ernie, Barkley, and JT are on it.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a pretty good three crew right there. Yep. So, I mean,
and we get to see another golf course we haven't seen.
Medalist.
Tiger's home course. So yeah. We'll get to see. You know, you always hear about the Medalist. We always hear, oh, Tiger was down at the Medalist today practicing. We don't ever get to see the Medalist. So I think it'll be really cool to see where Tiger's out practicing all the time. I also think, you know, these guys are all a little bit older, and they know each other a lot better. I felt like, to me, one of the things that was a little bit, I don't know, awkward, if you will, about yesterday's match is, especially like early on, Matthew Wolf was kind of trying to trash talk and have a little bit of fun. But, I mean, he's the young guy. DJ's 35. Rory and Ricky are over 30. I don't know. I almost felt like they were kind of like dogs, and they were a little bit annoyed by the puppy that was barking in the same room.
I got some of that, and I saw some of the things on Twitter. People were saying that. Some other friends were saying that, too, and it was, I mean, it would make sense, too. You know, like I said, he had the long drives, but he didn't play very well yesterday. So if you were able to back it up, if he was the one making the 7 birdies instead of Ricky, he might have had a little chance to, you know, right, do a little banter, you know. But it's kind of like Rory said, I believe it was the second hole where he made that putt. He was like, youngin, you forget that I won 2 FedEx Cups I can buy for $25 million.
Yeah, he said, this doesn't faze me, youngster.
Yeah, that was exactly a phrase. Well,
and apparently DJ supposedly – was not a big fan of Wolf's wisecrack, where he asked DJ to help him clarify if he was in a waste area or a bunker, which, of course, is a callback to the 2010 PGA at Whistling Straits, where DJ thought he was in a waste area, and he was, in fact, in a bunker, mm-hmm. which caused him going to the playoff with Bubba and Martin Kaymer. So apparently DJ was not a big fan of that, but like I know like my wife and I, we have two adult dogs, 2 5-year-old dogs, and about a year or so ago, we brought a puppy in. We got another dog, and there would be times where the older dogs just kind of wanted the puppy to leave them alone and stop being a puppy, and I got that vibe a little bit yesterday from Matthew Wolf and the older guys. But next week, I mean, all these guys are over 40. None of them are in their prime anymore, even though Phil Tiger and Tom Brady are all still playing. They've known each other for a long time, so I feel like we'll get more wisecracking, more joking. I think they'll take it less seriously, and I think it will have more of a fun, laid-back vibe than yesterday's had.
I hope so. I just hope it's more laid, definitely more laid back than the first Tiger Phil match was, because that was like one of the things that was advertised so much was trash talking and all this, and they didn't say a word to each other after about 7 holes, you know, because they're so focused and competitors. And one thing, I think Manning's going to be pretty funny. He always kind of throws those crazy cracks out there, you know, and has a pretty good sense of humor. And so and he's obviously not playing anymore. What did he retire 3 years ago now?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, yeah, after they won, beat the Panthers, I believe. And then that's when he retired.
Yeah,
when he literally couldn't throw. He just had a lot.
Von Miller beat the Panthers. Peyton Manning was on the team.
He was on the team. Okay. Yes. But he got a ring. So
he got a ring.
My point being is that he's the only one not still playing competition, so it's almost like, you know, he's not necessarily representing anyone. You know, Brady's still representing, you know, not only himself, but a Buccaneers organization, which is a little different than being retired. So I think that, and also too, like Brady mentioned when they were doing that interview with all four of them and Ernie Johnson, that, you know, Brady had said that he had been focusing more on the Buccaneers playbook and football. I mean, you know, hope, you know, for if you're a Bucs fan, hopefully that's the case. But, you know, who knows, you know, because this is a pretty big deal. So,
I mean, you study the playbook for an hour and then go play 36. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah, so it's your time priorities here. Are you studying the playbook for 9 hours and playing for an hour, or are you flip-flopping? So
like Steve Ball says, are you willing to put in the time?
Yeah, you got to put in the time. Yeah, if you're not going to.
You think Brady or Manning's been to see Steve Ball lately?
They probably went and saw him a couple weeks ago. If they haven't, they need to.
If they haven't, they need to.
Yeah, they need to get it fixed. But, you know, and obviously Brady's had such a history of being that intense competitor. So I hope that, you know, he doesn't, not necessarily curl up in a shell, you know, but kind of be timid to talk a lot of shit. But, you know, one thing I thought that was funny was on that interview that they had with all four of them and Ernie, he was like the only one they had to bleep out like 5 or 6 of his words because he was cussing and didn't really care. So I think that might be
who was getting bleeped out.
Brady
oh, I love it.
Yeah, he was like he was like my game straight shit, and then he was, you know,
Brady cusses a lot on the sidelines. He does too.
Yes, exactly. So we might get a little bit of that. Which
I know Tiger's a big cusser. We don't get to hear it often. They don't let us hear it often. But you remember whenever Rory and Tiger did their match in China, like in 2012 or 2013, you remember they had them mic'd up and it was uncensored. It was middle of the night pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they were cussing up a storm.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And it was awesome.
Oh, it's awesome. And that's, you know, the main reason is that, you know, it's not necessarily the broadcasters that don't want that happen. It's the advertisers that don't want all the cussing, you know, that's really the main thing. But, you know, that's a whole nother story. So with it being pay-per-view, they are allowed to do stuff like that. So I don't necessarily know how. Going back to the original point, I'm interested to see how much trash talking there is. Hopefully, and there's some good trash talking too. You know, maybe Phil will walk out with that picture that he had in the interview with Tiger putting the green jacket on him, and maybe Tiger will walk out holding his 3 U.S. Open trophies to show Phil.
Yeah, I really hope, because they're going to be riding around in carts, I hope Phil brings the trophy that he won for the match a couple years ago with Tiger and just has it ride passenger in the cart.
Yeah.
Just all day. Just sits there in the side of the cart. Should be a lot of fun.
One thing I want to get to, because you mentioned them all riding in same carts, and I wonder if anyone else noticed this. So after the fourth hole yesterday in the match, when DJ made that birdie, they interviewed him. Stevie Sands interviewed him, and he got up real close to him like it was a normal interview.
Like he's holding the microphone.
Yeah,
in his
right
face.
To him. Yeah, and
but
then
DJ's mic'd up.
Yeah, he's mic'd up, and then every next time he interviewed, you could tell that he was standing either further away. And even on the last interview, when he was interviewing DJ and Rory after they had won, he was like sitting there being a coordinator to make sure, like, yeah, you guys need to stand this far away. So not sure if it was someone at Golf Channel or someone called in frustrated, but someone was a little mad that they were not abiding by social distancing.
Well, and my guess would be that they were told before the round, guys, we're setting an example here for sports to come back. We need to show everyone that we can be responsible. Don't get within, and I know 6 feet is kind of the rule. They probably told them all, don't get within 10 feet of each other. Just don't do it because we all want sports back. We want to show everybody that we can do this while following all the guidelines. And then Sanzi gets right up and sticks a microphone in his face. And it's like, dude, he's mic'd up. Just, well, there's not. It's not like there's a crowd there making noise. Stand 10 feet away from him and have a conversation. We can hear you both. And that's what they did the rest of the day after that one.
Exactly. Yeah. So someone got frustrated. They're sitting there just like the microphone's just, I mean, their heads are 2 to 3 feet apart from each other, just spitting on it, you know. And so I didn't know if anyone else had noticed that someone had cracked down on the social distancing.
Definitely.
And because it happened so early, too. You know?
Definitely. You want to go through some of the famous members at Seminole?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Seminole, obviously, famous course. We've got some famous members. How about we start with Jerry McIlroy? Father of Rory McIlroy.
Mm-hmm.
So a little home course advantage there for Rory. One of the guys playing next weekend is a member at Seminole. Do you know who it is?
I mean, One of the guys playing, four options. Yeah, four options. So I'm going to say Brady.
It is Tom Brady.
No, how about
Tom Brady is a member at Seminole. Yeah. Yeah, recently came down to Florida. It doesn't say here how long he's been a member, so I don't know if this is something new, but don't know. The PGA of America CEO is a member, as is Mike Davis. Is a member, so I'm sure that there are many, many rules controversies in Mike Davis's money games.
Yes.
At Seminole.
Yeah, being like, wait,
did you cause the ball to move?
Yeah, no, talk about a stickler for the rules. You know.
How many times around do you think Mike Davis walks up to his playing partners and says, did you cause the ball to move?
That would be interesting to know how strict the rule setters are when they play. You know, it's like, They wouldn't be so strict on other people, but are they as strict on themselves as they are the other, you know, right. Everyone else, you know.
Right.
That would be interesting to see. I think that's what we might need to do. You know, we're getting all these, you know, NFL players. Let's get the rules officials out there and let them play. And then, so that way all the other rules officials can critique where the other rule official is, go over to their ball and be like, I don't think that's you can't drop from there, you know. And the other guy's like, well, I can drop from here. And then, so that might be some fun entertainment.
Yeah, when Mike Davis replies to me and comes on with us, we'll ask him how big of a stickler he is for the rule book. Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball, member down at Seminole. Let's see, who else? Phil Mickelson every year plays in the pro member with Jimmy Dunn, who's the president of the club. He did a little interview yesterday. Larry Fitzgerald is a member,
okay. So
pretty cool. And then, of course, you've got like your historic members, Ben Hogan, Pete Dye. Obviously, Ben Hogan used to prep for the Masters at Seminole, which is what kind of, it says here that's like what really, really put it on the map and made Seminole is that Ben Hogan would go down there and prep for the Masters. So that's all pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's, like we mentioned, there's so much history. And one thing that is kind of irritating is that I've watching all these flyovers, and you could do this on all these really great courses. It seems like every course that is inside the top 25 or 30 in the world, Ben Hogan had his favorite hole of all time on that course. You know, it's like they'll just go by and they'll be like, oh, well, Ben Hogan said this was his favorite hole. And then, like, there's one at Riviera where he said that. Then there's hole at Southern Hills here in Tulsa, number 12, I've heard that he said that was his favorite hole. Then there was a hole at Seminole where they said it's his favorite. Then there's a hole at Colonial. Then there's a hole at whatever. And I mean, like, you know, rest in peace, Ben Hogan. But I sure would like to know what your favorite hole is so we can clear up this controversy.
It's like the guy who has a top five movie list and he keeps adding movies. There's like 17 movies on the guy's top five of all time.
Exactly. Or yeah, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, then like 18 T5s.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, well, we got 5A, 5B, 5C, 5D, really strong film. There was another tournament this weekend in Florida. It was just kind of a casual get-together, I guess, just a money game, no sponsors, no anything, but had a lot of pros in it at Sawgrass in Florida. I mean, there were probably a good, I don't know, I'm looking here, 40 people maybe in this field. Billy Horschel, Russell Knox, Sam Saunders, Matt Every, Harold Varner, Lanto Griffin, Tyler Duncan actually won the tournament, shot 69-68 on a pretty windy weekend in Florida. Fred Funk was in it, so there's some Champions Tour guys, some Corn Ferry guys as well. Hank Lebioda, I saw his name on here, so kind of nice. We're seeing these leaderboards come out, Luke Guthrie. So we're getting more and more golf played, Taylor, is what it looks like. We're getting these kind of casual tournaments taking place, everybody getting their competitive feels back and getting their juices flowing. So a nice little impromptu tournament at Sawgrass, but none of the big names really finished in the money or that high on the list. Tyler Duncan, obviously, if you're a golf diehard, you know who Tyler Duncan is. The casual fan doesn't know who Tyler Duncan
no,
is.
No, he won a fall series event, one of the early events in the season. I believe it was the start of this year, end of 2019, and then was kind of fluttering around there. So he's at least won within the last few years. Lanto Griffin, I believe, won down in Houston. And then you see some other names here like Harold Varner, like I said, Billy Horschel, but You know, there's the here's the other guys. After Tyler Duncan, you go Ron, Parita, Justin Huber, Taylor Dickinson. Then there's Lento Griffin, Phillip Knowles, Harold Varner, Ben Taylor, Connor Goodsby, Greg Easton. I mean, these are majority of those names I've never heard of.
Yeah, you don't know these guys.
Yeah.
You don't know these guys. But they beat some of the pros, like I said, Billy Horschel and those guys, Russell Knox, Sam Saunders were a little further down. Tyler Duncan, by the way, won the RSM Classic back in November.
Okay.
1900. Beat Webb Simpson in the playoff.
Nice.
Pretty strong win.
Yeah. Now, that was back when Webb was playing good. I mean, he won the waste management just 2 months later. So, I mean, he was obviously in good form then. So,
yeah. Took down what? Finau was two up to play? Finau two up to play and lost? Mm-hmm.
And then Webb birdied the last.
Poor Tony, man.
Birdied 17, 18, and the playoff hole. So, Tony will get it eventually. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Who's going to break the Puerto Rico curse first? Victor Hovland or Tony Finau?
That's a really good question.
Logic says Finau, but I mean, he's had a lot longer to do it, and he hadn't done it yet.
Yeah, and I know it's Holland's no chipping son of a buck, you know. So, and that can come into play in some tournaments.
Did you see Holland's video a few weeks ago in the locker room at Carson?
Oh yeah,
he's hitting off the couch cushion. He like blasted over the lockers into the wall.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
so good.
I'm sure if there's one person that wouldn't get in trouble for doing something like that, it's him though.
Hovland, I saw some pictures of the Carson locker room a couple weeks ago, and Hovland just had stuff like everywhere. He just had like jeans. He has his iPad plugged in. It looked like he's just like splitting his time living at Carson, which is awesome.
He probably is. It sounds like a hard life, but hopefully he needs to get out there on that chipping green.
He needs to get out on the practice facilities, no doubt about it. So one other thing I want to get to before we get out of here, you and I, huge fans of the Tiger Woods video games and really looking forward to PGA Tour 2K21 coming out on August 21st. That's the release date. I'm assuming they did that because it's 2K21, so they want it to come out on the 21st. And we now know who's on the cover. Justin Thomas is on the cover. Pretty cool. We know that there are going to be 12 official licensed tour pros in the game, as well as 15 licensed tour courses, and they are going to have the create a course feature, so you can go in and create whatever course you want to. Like promised, I will be creating Bushwood Golf and Country Club. I might take out the tree on 8. I probably won't. I'll probably leave it in, and we'll have to work around it, but I will be creating that course, and you can do whatever you want on the game, so I'm looking forward to it. I think everything they came out with last Thursday makes me even more look forward to it, and I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, and it's definitely better than what we've had. You know the golf club, it's been a decent game. You know, there's a lot of things that they can improve on. You know, we mentioned last week the licensing thing could be an issue, so they were able to get what you said. It's 12 golfers and 15.
Yeah, 12 golfers, 15 courses.
12 golfers, 15 courses. I keep getting them mixed up. So from the trailer, some of the courses we saw looked like Innisbrook would be on there,
which is cool. Plus Snake Pit.
Yeah, Snake Pit. TPC San Antonio.
Yeah.
Which the Oaks course I played down there, really hard course. TPC Sawgrass.
Wasn't TPC San Antonio where y'all got wind delayed? Or was it wind canceled?
Yes, we had yes, that was
it canceled or delayed?
We were supposed to play two rounds in one day, and our second round got canceled because the wind was blowing too hard. Literally 40 miles an hour.
Balls probably couldn't sit still on the green.
They weren't. That was the problem.
Yeah.
You know, there was three or four greens where it just wouldn't stick. So
it was like,
so,
what year was that at the Open Championship? They had to, was it 2010?
That was the year that we were talking about it with DJ. Remember when DJ had at St. Andrews had?
It was 2010, wasn't it?
That was 2015. Because remember that
was it 2015?
Because that was
I thought it was earlier than that.
Because that was the year Zach Johnson won, and because in 2010 Louis won by like 6 shots. So I mean it was a runaway.
Yeah.
But in 2015 they had. It was a big controversy because they had started the third round. They played like 2.5 holes, and then they canceled.
Oh, yeah, and then the wind kicked up.
Then the wind, and they canceled, and they didn't. But they didn't like restart the round. They just played it, like kept playing. So you know that like literally they went out and played like 2.5 holes for no reason, and then RNA got in a lot of trouble about that. But yeah, so yes, that is where that happened. But
2015, rough year for the RNA and the USGA.
Yes, it was. Yeah, no doubt about that. So going back to the course, to the 2K thing. Yeah, I think it was cool to have Thomas on the cover. I think that he's kind of the
young gun,
big name. One of the things I was reading about the other day, and I'm not sure about this. So they had the you remember Colby? They had the Rory PGA game come out. EA did a few years ago, and some of the golfers there in that game were Rory, DJ, Ricky. Some of the guys played yesterday. And there's a few more I can't remember them off the top of my head, but someone had mentioned that we don't know about their current status on EA contracts, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So if they're under for a certain amount of years or whatever, just because they haven't made a new game doesn't mean that they don't have the rights to them. So those golfers, because they haven't announced
The only rumor I've heard is that DeChambeau is going to be on it. And okay. I don't know how anybody knows that, but I saw that rumor on social media.
That would
make
sense. So. Like I said, I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to be.
So if you want to do a science project while you're playing golf, you can play as DeChambeau.
Yeah, there you go. And he'll probably, before you can hit a shot, you probably have to solve like three physics problems before you can do it.
Yeah, you got to check your compass, probably have a wind gauge on the top of the cart, see exactly how it's blowing. Mm-hmm. Do you take carts on the game? I think you should. I think you should be able to drive a golf cart to your tee shot.
Golf cart races? That would be fun.
That would be awesome.
I mean, on the old Tiger games, they had a thing called speed golf where you would hit the shot and then you would like run. Like you, it wasn't a third person, it was first person, but like you would run and then you'd run to your ball and then hit as fast as you could. It was actually pretty fun. So maybe something like that. They mentioned some of the other game modes. They mentioned they would have skins. They mentioned they actually would have Scramble, which hasn't been in any of the Tiger Woods games before, which I think might be interesting, might be cool for, you know, like four people to get together on an online tournament and play a scramble like
that.
Or
even eight people get together on an online tournament, and it's online, so it's keeping your score so you know people aren't cheating.
Exactly. Because
that's really the biggest problem with scrambles is you know people are cheating.
Oh, yeah, that's why you have to play to the same group in a scramble. That's entirely a different story there. But, yeah, no, so from what had come out, you know, like I mentioned last time, I'm not expecting this game to blow us out of the water. I think it's going to be good content. 2K normally tries to do a good job. Like I said, they want to make the microtransactions, want to make a little bit of money off of it, which who doesn't, you know? But so hopefully there's just not a pay-to-win system. And I hope that they mentioned some of the brands that were in it too. I think it said TaylorMade, Callaway.
Adidas.
Yep, be in it. So there'll be some good brands that'll be in there, which is good. You know, we don't want to. One thing I think will be interesting is that JT's on the cover, and literally in the cover, he's wearing a Titleist hat. So are they going to leave are they going to leave Titleist out? Because Titleist was never in any of the other EA games.
No, they weren't.
Never. Not once. So I find it would be very interesting or weird that, you know, Titleist would be literally on the cover of the game and you couldn't play as it.
That'd be really weird.
It was like a couple years ago in Madden, Richard Sherman was on the cover and he was wearing a player sleeve, and in customization you couldn't add a player sleeve to your character. It was like they got a lot of slack for that. Yeah. So, you know, something like that could rub people the wrong way, but obviously that would, I don't know how all that would work because, you know, Titleist sponsors Thomas, but so anything Thomas affiliated would have to go through. Right. You know, would be associated with him. But
basically, it's a spider web of brands and sponsors.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe the reason that Titleist didn't want to do any of the other games is because who were the two title guys on the other ones? Tiger, Rory. What did they both do? Left Titleist.
Yeah, that's true.
So that is probably the reason why.
Probably part of it, definitely.
I mean, because I remember even, like, you couldn't, like, if you played as Tiger, he would have his Scotty Cameron putter, you know, but you couldn't ever purchase it, or you couldn't put it on your character ever, you know. So that'll be interesting to see if Titleist makes its way into the game because they hadn't been. I think they said Cobra was in this one too.
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. If DeChambeau's in it, then they should definitely have Cobra.
Yeah.
And we mentioned the Create a Course thing, which I think will be really cool. If they can just add any bit of details that they add to the golf club Create a Course, and I think it's going to be fantastic because it, you know, we were watching some videos yesterday. I mean, there's a lot of detail that can go into it.
Yes, a ton, an absolute ton of detail. So, yeah, looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get back together later this week, and we are going to talk about the match coming up on Sunday with Tiger and Phil, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. We're also going to talk about the Tiger Slam. That's right. Later this week, we will talk about the Tiger Slam because the big documentary releasing Sunday night after the match. So we'll break down Tiger's four major victories. Might even talk about the players that he won in between, kind of everything that happened for Tiger in 2000 and 2001. Really looking forward to that documentary on Sunday night. So we'll get into all that later in the week. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll take you right through June or whenever it was that Tiger won that, and we'll go to April when he won. I think we'll try to go down. We'll go through every tournament, essentially. We'll go see around the world, see how he did. And before we get out of here, we didn't mention this about the driving relief. End up raising $5.5 million
for the cause. Unbelievable.
Which is fantastic. So hopefully the match this upcoming weekend can do even more than that. It's just great to see that, you know, coming down to Bill Murray, Mike Tirico, it seemed like the CDC and the nurses both won in this instance, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. Great stuff. What about, we're playing golf tomorrow. Should we put a line on it? How many strokes are you giving me? We can update people later in the week.
We always do 6.5, so I mean that's normally
6.5 is a pretty good number.
That's normally what we do. We normally have some fairly decent matches. If we play out at your home course, the greens, it can vary a little bit because sometimes you sandbag on us
sandbag. I just know how to play that course. That's better.
Very true. Very true.
I play you know, three times a week. A little bit of a bonus.
I'll tell you what. I haven't been playing very much, but how many ever you want, I'll give you. So
6.5 is good. That's our normal number. That usually gets us pretty close.
Let's do that.
Usually, because I'm much more likely to throw a 7 in there somewhere, which usually throws a little bit of a wrench in the tire. So I think 6.5 is a good number.
We'll keep that. And we normally play for a box combo at Canes. So for anyone who has ever had Canes, you understand the magnitude that this bet is.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm getting 6.5 from Taylor tomorrow. We'll be down at Bushwood in Chickasha. Head that way. Big Memorial Day tournament this weekend. Pools open. Full bar. Everything. You're going to have a blast. New ownership. Greens in great shape. Resodded tee boxes. Really, really good stuff going on down at Bushwood in Chickasha. So we'll be back later in the week. We'll tell you who won our match. We'll talk about Tiger and Phil's upcoming match as well as the Tiger Slam. Thanks for listening once again to the 73rd Hole.